So smart.
Ooh, that.
Oh, yeah, it peaked big time.
That's people.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Whoa.
To all of you. All the entire state of Michigan.
That's a big shot of espresso for the entire state of Michigan.
Yes. That's what we do. Oh, my. Too many things for me to fidget with. How's everyone doing today?
Great. Thank
you. No. Them. How are you guys doing?
How do you like
awesome.
That?
Awesome. I'm so glad to hear it. No, it's like Dora. Do you see Allison?
Swiper,
where?
No swiping. Where?
She's over there across the table. All right, anyway. Loey Simos, guys. We did it.
It's been a long time since I watched Dora.
It's been about 3 hours since I watched Dora.
I watched a lot of it, but it's been a while.
Yeah.
Do-do-do-do, Dora.
I was just waiting for my kids to stop playing in the yard, so I thought I'd watch some Dora, throw on some Dora, learn some basic Spanish. Pretty amazing.
I want to know who came up with some of these songs, because they, like, the easiest job in the world. I'm the map, 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 I'm the map. Like, what?
And you think about it more. And, like, the Loey Simos song at the end, it's always, like, here's the thing, like, they're filling up a 22-minute show with all these songs that they do. Back, back, back,
yes.
Like over and over again. And I mean, the show is like 7 minutes long by the time you're done with it.
Mm-hmm.
And children just love it.
Stare at it like it's...
Because here's the thing. I think we read it in the Proverbs. I'm not sure or not. It's a wise saying, though. Kids are dumb, man. So...
Well, and from a music person, the thought process, well, not the thought process, but the science behind that is kids love repetition and things that they can easily, especially with music, they love things that are easily memorized and easily retained, and that they can, because it's easy for them. The intervals of those songs are easy, and the words are repetitive, and that catches their attention, and they stick with it. But anyway, that's another story for another day.
And that seemed like a pretty full story that you gave today.
Well, you're welcome.
I do thank you. Gracias. Mm-hmm. Muchas gracias. Sorry. I'm going to slip in and out of Spanish.
Diego's good. I like Diego.
No,
I think
Diego's a dumb cousin. Who cares about Diego?
No, I think Diego was good.
No.
I like Diego.
I like that she has a talking monkey. Okay, so here's the deal. Real quick, then we're going to get to the podcast. She has a talking monkey named Boots, right? Mm-hmm. Why is he called Boots? Because he wears boots.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. That's obviously not his birth name then. Anyway, doesn't matter. Later, there's teenage Dora, or preteen Dora, or whatever Dora. She no longer has a talking monkey named Boots. It just has a friend. I'm like, did you get rid of your monkey? Like, your talking monkey? Did you get rid of him to make friends with a human? Like, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life.
Maybe she ultimately figured out it was an imaginary friend.
She's a computer game.
What?
She's a computer game.
What do you mean?
Dora's a computer game. Computadora? Like, she's a video game. You know the little arrow that clicks through?
Yeah.
Dude. Like, she is imaginary herself. She can't have an imaginary friend.
Can too. Speaking of imaginary friends, today's day 137, and we're going to read Proverbs 30 and 31 and 1 Corinthians 9.
The sayings of Agur. The sayings of Agur, son of Jakeh, contain this message. I am weary, O God, I am weary and worn out, O God. I am too stupid to be human, and I lack common sense. I have not mastered human wisdom, nor do I know the Holy One. Who but God goes up to heaven and comes back down? Who holds the wind in his fists? Who wraps up the oceans in his cloak? Who has created the whole wide world? What is his name? And his son's name? Tell me if you know. Every word of God proves true. He is a shield to all who come to him for protection. Do not add to his words, or he may rebuke you and expose you as a liar. O God, I beg two favors from you. Let me have them before I die. First, help me never to tell a lie. Second, give me neither poverty nor riches. Give me just enough to satisfy my needs. For if I grow rich, I may deny you and say, who's the Lord? And if I'm too poor, I may steal and thus insult God's holy name. Never slander a worker to the employer, or the person will curse you and you'll pay for it. Some people curse their father and do not think their mother. They are pure in their own eyes, but they are filthy and unwashed. They look proudly around, casting disdainful glances. They have teeth like swords and fangs like knives. They devour the poor from the earth and the needy from among humanity. The leech has two suckers that cry out, more, more. There are three things that are never satisfied. No, four that say enough, that never say enough. The grave, the barren womb, the thirsty desert, the blazing fire. The eye that mocks a father and despises a mother's instructions will be plucked out by ravens of the valley and eaten by vultures. There are three things that amaze me. No, four things that I don't understand. How an eagle glides through the sky, how a snake slithers on a rock, how a ship navigates the ocean, how a man loves a woman. An adulterous woman consumes a man, then wipes her mouth and says, what's wrong with that? There are three things that make the earth tremble. No, four it cannot endure. A slave who becomes a king, an overbearing fool who prospers, a bitter woman who finally gets a husband, a servant girl who supplants her mistress. There are four things on the earth that are small but unusually wise. Ants. They aren't strong, but they store up food all summer. Hyraxes. They aren't powerful, but they make their homes among the rocks. Locusts. They have no king, but they march in formation. Lizards. They're easy to catch, but they are found even in kings' palaces. There are three things that walk with a stately stride. No, four that strut about. The lion, king of animals, who won't turn aside for anything. The strutting rooster. The male goat, a king as he leads his army. If you have been a fool by being proud or plotting evil, cover your mouth in shame. As the beating of cream yields butter, and striking the nose causes bleeding, so stirring up anger causes quarrels.
Proverbs 31, the sayings of King Lemuel. The sayings of King Lemuel contain this message, which his mother taught him. O my son, O son of my womb, O son of my vows, do not waste your strength on women, on those who ruin kings. It is not for kings, O Lemuel, to guzzle wine. Rulers should not crave alcohol, for if they drink, they may forget the law and not give justice to the oppressed. Alcohol is for the dying, and wine is wine for those in bitter distress. Let them drink to forget their poverty and remember their troubles no more. Speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves. Endure justice for those being crushed. Yes, speak up for the poor and helpless and see that they get justice. A wife of noble character. Who can find a virtuous and capable wife? She is more precious than rubies. Her husband can trust her and she will greatly enrich his life. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. She finds wool and flax and busily spins it. She is like a merchant ship bringing her food from afar. She gets up before dawn to prepare breakfast for her household and plan the day's work for her servant girls. She goes to inspect a field and buys it. With her earrings, she... Sorry.
Wow, how gifted.
That could... She goes to inspect a field and buys it. With her earnings, she plants a vineyard. She is energetic and strong, a hard worker. She makes sure her dealings are profitable. Her lamp burns late into the night. Her hands are busy spinning thread, her fingers twisting fiber. She extends a helping hand to the poor and opens her arms to the needy. She has no fear of winter for her household, for everyone has warm clothes. She makes her own bedspreads. She dresses in fine linen and purple gowns. Her husband is well known at the city gates where he sits with the other civic leaders. She makes belted linen garments and sashes to sell to the merchants. She is clothed with strength and dignity, and she laughs without fear of the future. When she speaks, her words are wise, and she gives instructions with kindness. She carefully watches everything in her household and suffers nothing from laziness. Her children stand and bless her. Her husband praises her. There are many virtuous and capable women in the world, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive, and beauty does not last, but a woman who fears the Lord will be greatly praised. Reward her for all she has done. Let her deeds publicly declare her praise.
1 Corinthians chapter 9, Paul gives up his rights. Am I not as free as anyone else? Am I not an apostle? Haven't I seen Jesus our Lord with my own eyes? Isn't it because of my work that you belong to the Lord? Even if others think I'm not an apostle, I certainly am to you. You yourselves are proof that I'm the Lord's apostle. This is my answer to those who question my authority. Don't we have the right to live in your homes and share your meals? Don't we have the right to bring a believing wife with us as the other apostles and as the Lord's brothers do, and as Peter does? Or is it only Barnabas and I who have to work to support ourselves? What soldier has to pay his own expenses? What farmer plants a vineyard and doesn't have the right to eat some of its fruit? What shepherd cares for a flock of sheep and isn't allowed to drink some of the milk? Am I expressing merely a human opinion, or does the law say the same thing? For the law of Moses says, you must not muzzle an ox to keep it from eating as it treads out the grain. Was God thinking only about the ox when he said this? Wasn't he actually speaking to us? Yes. It is written for us, so that the one who plows and the one who threshes the grain might both expect a share of the harvest. Since we have planted spiritual seed among you, aren't we entitled to a harvest of physical food and drink? If you support others who preach to you, shouldn't we have an even greater right to be supported? But we have never used this right. We would rather put up with anything than be an obstacle to the good news about Christ. Don't you realize that those who work in the temple get their meals from the offerings brought to the temple, and those who serve at the altar get a share of the sacrificial offerings? In the same way, the Lord ordered that those who preach the good news should be supported by those who benefit from it. Yet I have never used any of these rights, and I am not writing this to suggest that I want to start now. In fact, I would rather die than lose my right to boast about preaching without charge. Yet preaching the good news is not something I can boast about. I'm compelled by God to do it. How terrible for me if I didn't preach the good news. If I were doing this on my own initiative, I would deserve payment. But I have no choice, for God has given me this sacred trust. What then is my pay? It is the opportunity to preach the good news without charging anyone. That's why I never demand my rights when I preach the good news. Even though I'm a free man with no master, I've become a slave to all people to bring many to Christ. When I was with the Jews, I lived like a Jew to bring the Jews to Christ. When I was with those who followed the Jewish law, I too lived under that law. Even though I'm not subject to the law, I did this so I could bring to Christ those who are under the law. When I am with the Gentiles who do not follow the Jewish law, I too live apart from that law so I can bring them to Christ. But I do not ignore the law of God, I obey the law of Christ. When I am with those who are weak, I share their weakness, for I want to bring the weak to Christ. Yes, I try to find common ground with everyone, doing everything I can to save some. I do everything to spread the good news and share in its blessings. Don't you realize that in a race, everyone runs, but only one person gets the prize? So run to win. All athletes are disciplined in their training. They do it to win a prize that will fade away, but we do it for an eternal prize. So I run with purpose in every step. I am not just shadow boxing. I discipline my body like an athlete, training it to do what it should. Otherwise, I fear that after preaching to others, I myself might be disqualified.
And that is our reading today.
All right. We're at two questions of mine. How does this help me love God more? How does this help me love others more? Allison, the question is to you. How does this help you love
others more?
Others more.
Yes, I try to find common ground with everyone, doing everything I can to save some. I do everything to spread the good news and share in its blessings. That caught my attention because I think finding common ground with people is something that we, a lot of Christians aren't very good at right now. It's more about separating ourselves a lot of times, you know, like maybe we think it's protecting ourselves. I don't know. But you can find common ground with just about anybody, really. You can. And Chip always says, you know, listen to people. So I think that's a great piece of advice when you're trying to find common ground with somebody, is to find that common ground. And like he says, earn the right to hear their story and earn the right to be able to speak back.
Yeah, by hearing their story.
Hearing their story. So that's a tough thing that we're not, I don't, when I say we, I mean collectively Christians, like we should really try to remember that, to try to find common ground with somebody first. Instead of trying to shove our beliefs in their face or criticize them for not believing the way we believe, but just try to find the common ground and then see where you can go from there.
Yep. Yeah. It's a simultaneous thing. You develop authentic relationships with people and let them know who you are and what you believe, but also listen and connect with them. And like you said, find common ground with them. I think that's really important. I just preached about the fact that we're in a series right now at Harvest Church at the time of this recording. We're in a series about emulating Christ's ministry in our own lives. Mm-hmm. And the very most fundamental thing that Jesus did is dwelling among people, mm-hmm. being part of mm-hmm. the society, you know? And I just think, yeah, you're right. American Christians don't do that well. What we do is we say, okay, we're going to either totally insulate ourselves and make sure that we don't go near any of those icky lost people, right? Or you know, like Hannah and I like to say, the not yet saved people, mm-hmm. you know? And then, or we say, okay, well, I'm going to go out and do whatever I want and I'm going to live a totally immoral life because that's what it means to be around mm-hmm. those people. And, you know, there's something in between those things. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I think that's great. That's really good. I have to note here, as I talk about how this helps me love God more, I have to note that I read Proverbs chapter 30, and you read Proverbs chapter 31. Proverbs chapter 31, the virtuous woman, the godly wife, right? Mm-hmm. Like all this amazing stuff. So I got to read, I'm too stupid to be human, and I lack common sense.
Yep. Well, but then I'm the one who was going to plant my earring, so really,
yeah,
I didn't.
Might grow a beanstalk.
How would it grow a beanstalk?
Well, I don't know. There's gold at the top of the beanstalk.
So, why? Why do you say that?
Because there's a goose that laid a golden egg up there. A giant had a goose that laid... Never mind. We're not doing this even more.
Okay.
How does this help me love God more? I just love the worshipful aspect of Proverbs chapter 30. Like, who but God goes up to heaven and comes back down? Who holds the winds in his fist? Who wraps up the oceans in his cloak? Who has created the whole wide world? Every word of God proves true. He's a shield to all who come to him for protection. And then don't add to his words, or he may rebuke you and expose you as a liar. Jeez, that's a big deal.
Yeah.
I'm pretty excited for that to happen to a couple people, I'll tell you that much. But I just love this like amazing worshipful aspect of, I want to say this right. So Agur here, he takes the character of God, just his like massiveness, his omnipotence, his, you know, creative mind and also his creative character. He takes all of that and says, because that's who God is, let's just hang on every word he says mm-hmm. and never alter him, right? Because we know who God is, let's just trust him. Mm-hmm. Because we know who God is, let's not edit anything he says. Let's just take it for what it is. I think that's so powerful because right now we live in a world and in a time where people want to edit the word of God to fit our sensibilities.
Yeah.
And it's just a reminder of like this God that you want to red pen is the one who holds the wind in his fist, mm-hmm. right? Like, it's just amazing. So I love that. I think that's probably my takeaway today and just something that I really enjoy. So.
Yeah.
Okay. That's all I got.
Okay. I don't remember there being a goose at the top of the stalk, but...
That's what he steals. He steals it from the giant.
Really?
Yeah.
Maybe I just don't remember that story very well.
You know who could help you remember it?
Who?
Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do- Oh, we should have chip 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 and Eric. 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 He'd be like, hola, soy chip. And I'm Eric.
Swiper, no swiping.
Who would that be?
I don't know.
That'd be Josh you. Pugh. Oh, it is Josh Pugh because he's always stealing my kids' food.
Yeah, and he comes in.
Just to read the awkward passages.
Mm-hmm. Josh Pugh, swiper.
Yeah, I'm on to you, Josh Pugh. My kids still do that, Josh. They still blame him for
eating
their food.
Has he ever ate their food?
Never once. Yeah, never once.
I wonder why. He just broke the pencil.
No, I didn't break the pencil, but I did definitely like make it into like a weapon of some kind.
Okay. See, this is why my job as a teacher is hard, because of people like you.
I'm a teacher. So, this is why society is bad, because of people like me.
Well, that went kind of deep. I didn't mean for it to be that to that extent, but
Chip and Eric. I love it.
I like that too. Good job, guys.
Yeah.
Stay 120 or 37, 137.
It's pretty cool.
That's amazing.
I think halfway is in June this year. So that'll be good to get there.
I meant, like, what was the date?
Yeah, no, it's in June, though. You're right.
I know that it's in June, but I was trying to remember if it was the end of June.
Yeah, I get it.
Well, you know, the halfway mark is about a month away, and that's pretty amazing, especially if you think to the fact, it felt like just yesterday we were starting this, so... we're already halfway through. If this is your first time through the Bible, you're already halfway through.
And we don't have to go from the Old to the New Testament this year. That is such a hard transition that we don't have to do.
That is so hard.
I'm so stoked.
We don't have to get kind of, how do I word that without it sounding disrespectful?
Well, the end of the, like, the, there's a big chunk toward the end of the Old Testament. It's just really sad.
It's weighty. It's so heavy.
The exile is just really sad. And then the return is such a short little bit compared to Isaiah, Jeremiah, end of Chronicles, like Daniel, like all of these big, like, okay, we're just living in exile.
When are we reading Job?
I think it's really close to the end.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. I like Job. All right, guys, have a great week. Day.
Have a great weekday.